Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. I'd like you to notice, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and I'd like for you to follow with me, if you would, please, and notice this verse of Scripture that I'm going to read here in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 21. We must keep in mind, in reading this passage of Scripture in the context, that the Apostle Paul is writing to one of the Lord's churches, and this is the church at Ephesus. It's a local New Testament church, and we must keep this in mind. The five chapters that are in the book of Ephesians, of course, is to that church that was located there at Ephesus. Now notice with me, as I read verse 21, you follow along, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Now notice, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. May we pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness, mercy, and love, allowing us another privilege, another time that we have to come together and assemble as a New Testament Baptist church. We're thankful for your presence and your power, because, Lord, we acknowledge unto you that without you that we cannot do anything. And so, Father, tonight I pray that you would enable us by the unction of the Holy Spirit that we might proclaim this truth that would bring honor and glory to your name, and also that it would edify and build up the saints. We're thankful, Lord, for the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Not only the saving of our soul, but also the saving of our lives. And now, Lord, we thank thee for the great truth that we have here revealed in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. And we pray by the Holy Spirit that you would enable us, Lord, to receive this truth tonight. And then in so doing, that we might then pattern our lives according to the New Testament, and therefore that our lives might be unto your honor, unto your glory, and unto your praise. Lord, if there is someone here tonight that is not saved by your marvelous grace, we pray that it might even please you tonight, that you might open their heart, grant to them repentance and faith, and that they'd come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, Father, I ask that you would bless each one present, and may we, Lord, center our thoughts, our minds upon the Word of God, and stay them upon thee. Forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. My subject tonight is in the form of a question. The question is this: what brings glory to God? What brings glory to God? Now go back to your Bibles and look at this verse again with me. And if you'll notice, when Paul is writing, he says, first of all, unto him, that is, unto God. Amen. Now, everything, whether we realize or not, or really will acknowledge it, everything is to God's glory. Sometimes it's sort of hard to see how that some things can be to God's glory, but the ultimate end of all that happens or takes place is to God's glory. If it is not, it may be through the love of God being manifested, but it may also be through the wrath of God. And so not only is the love of God unto God's glory, but the wrath of God also is to God's glory and his honor. So we see right off here that all glory is to God, and all things are for God's glory. Every individual, whether saved or unsaved, is the glory of God, and will accomplish or bring the glory to God that God so designed for them to bring. But you'll notice here, he says in this verse, unto God And he says, be glory in the church. Now today it's hard for people to differentiate, seemingly, those that have not been taught the truth of God's word. It is hard for them to differentiate between the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All three of these are of God, and they are different. To be in any one of them, he must be born again by the Spirit of God. But if you'll notice here what he's saying here, and he says, unto him be glory in the church. He did not say, unto him be glory in the family of God. Now the family of God brings glory to God, and everybody that is saved by the grace of God, they are in the family of God. Every born-again believer, every man, woman, boy or girl that has been saved by the grace of God, immediately when they are saved, they are in the family of God. But now notice, unto him be glory in the church. He didn't say unto him be glory in the kingdom. But there are people tonight, and we are saved, and therefore we're in the kingdom of God. We're not only in the family of God, but we're in the kingdom of God. And so both are for his honor and for his glory and for his praise. But he's not talking about unto God be glory in the family of God and unto God be the glory to God in the kingdom. But he says unto God be glory in the church. So we see there is a glory that every saved person in the family of God brings to God, and every saved person that is upon the earth at a given time in the kingdom of God brings to God. But there is also a special glory that every child of God that is saved by the grace of God, which is in the family of God and the kingdom of God, and then is being added to one of the Lord's churches, brings glory to him. Brings glory in a special sense. See, the Bible clearly teaches us and tells us that salvation is not in the church. That is the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not what saves you. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see that we find here in this, so he says, unto God be glory in the church. Now what he was talking about was he was talking to a local New Testament church which was here at Ephesus. And so he was telling these people here in this Ephesian church, unto God be glory in this church. Now, you'll find that there's a way that that is accomplished. And look at this verse with me. It is not only unto God be glory in the church, but by Christ Jesus. And so we see that I believe here's one of the good, one of the great truths that we, that many Baptists today have been taken completely away from and completely overlook. And they believe that everybody that's saved is in the church. That's universalism. Everybody that is saved by the grace of God is in the family of God. They are saved of the family of God, of which is both in, there's those that are in heaven that is in the family of God, and there are those that are on earth at this time that are in the family of God. I'll tell you, in years gone by, some of our Baptist brethren like J.R. Graves and some of the other Baptist brethren of years gone by, they taught that there was a difference between the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of them were very, very important to understand that God had so designed each to be for his honor and for his glory. But then we say, well, how long will he receive honor and glory? How long will God receive honor and glory in the church by Jesus Christ? Well, here it is. Look at this. Throughout all ages, world without end. Now, I don't always understand in the book of Revelation from chapter 1 down to chapter 20, there's a lot of things in there I do know and understand. There's a lot of things in there I don't know and don't understand. But I do realize and know that chapter 21 and 22 is talking about the eternal ages. And you don't hear much preaching on the eternal ages because they not a whole lot to say about it. But there is the eternal ages, that is Revelation 21 and 22. And so many believe, and many believe falsely, that, you know, that when the Lord comes back, and I believe that, but we, of course, here, and we believe the Bible teaches, and we're pre-trib, pre-meal in the eschatology, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that when the Lord comes back, he's coming back for all the saints. For everybody that's saved by the grace of God, he's coming back. And among those saints will be the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are the pillar and the ground of the truth in the day in which we live, and who Paul was talking about here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. And then when the Lord comes back and takes them out, that will not be the end of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they, of course, will become the bride of Christ. They are the bride of Christ now and will be married to Christ. And then they'll be to his honor and glory throughout the eternal ages, world without end. And so God so designed for it to be. So, brethren, I believe that Baptists need to return, Baptists need to return back to the Bible and the truth of the Lord's salvation, but also the Lord's church. And I go back and I read of our brethren 50 years ago and 60 years ago and even 40 years ago, and how they preached these great truths and God saved people. And then he added them to the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. And then they served the Lord effectually with their lives. And it was to not to their glory or not to their honor, but it was to the glory of God. It's exactly as he says here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. So unto him, unto God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, there are basically two things that I want us to think about tonight that brings glory to God. Now, there's a lot of things. And there's no way that I could cover everything that brings glory to God, because I said all things do. But there are basically two aspects or two things that I want us to think together tonight upon that bring glory to God. And the first one is salvation. Salvation brings glory to God. Now, the teaching of salvation is very clearly seen in the Word of God. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 3. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to show you what will bring honor and glory to God in the church by Christ Jesus in the church with throughout all ages, world without end. The teaching of salvation. Now, there wouldn't be anybody ever saved had it not been for the great God of heaven designing it to be so and planning it to be so. There is no salvation apart from the God of heaven. And God designed for it to be so. And I believe that all of us tonight that know the Lord Jesus Christ know God well enough from the Word of God to know that's the way it is. And whether we know it or not, that's the way it is, because the Bible clearly declares or clearly teaches us that what brings honor and glory to God is in salvation is to contribute salvation to God. Amen. Not to man or not to what we do. There is so much of this today that is taught as salvation that is not honoring God. It is not bringing glory to God. It's bringing honor and glory to some man or some individual, but not to God. Now, God the Father purposed and planned our salvation. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I want you to follow as I read these verses, and I'm simply just going to read them because I have two things that I want to talk about tonight, and I want to get into both of them. And he says here, I'll just read these scriptures and let the Holy Spirit speak with these. He says in verse 4 and 5, and this, of course, was the Father's purposing and planning of our salvation. And he said this in verse 4 and 5 of Ephesians 1. Now I'm going to read, you follow. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now notice, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now that's the way God purposed and God planned our salvation to be. And when we acknowledge this, and it's very easy to acknowledge, all you got to do is read verse 4 and 5, and you have to acknowledge it as the Word of God is the truth, then that is the type of salvation, when we talk about that, that brings glory to God. Now anything else doesn't. Anything less than that does not. It exalts humanism. It exalts man. But it does not exalt the great God of heaven, the God that we know. But then there is no salvation without God the Father purposing and planning it. But there would be no salvation without God the Son purchasing it. No one would ever or could ever be saved were it not that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins. Now, in the same book here of Ephesians 1, now look at this. I'm going to read 6 too, but I really want to go from 7 down through a few verses here. But now notice with me what it says. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now, when you talk about grace and you talk about that salvation's of the Lord, see, you don't praise man, you praise the glory of God's grace. Oh, the grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Now look, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, if you want to know what that word beloved right there means, it means Christ. Right out from the word beloved, you can write Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. But who made us accepted in Christ? God made us accepted in Christ. Who is the beloved? The Lord Jesus Christ is the beloved. Now I'm talking about a salvation that brings honor and glory unto God. Now look with me in verse 7. Now look at this. Now he closes out that verse 6, the beloved, that's Christ, and he says, now keep this in mind, in whom, that is Christ, in whom we have redemption, how? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So we see that there is no salvation apart from God purposing and planning it, and there is no salvation apart from God the Son purchasing it. And God the Son purchased our salvation when He went to the cross of Calvary and died, shed His blood and died for our sins. That is the purchasing of our salvation. There is not a person here tonight that can begin to do anything toward their salvation as far as purchasing it. You were dead in trespasses and sin, and the law of God said that you was guilty of sin, and the law of God declared that because of that you were to die. But how thankful I am that God in His Son, and it really was God procured or God offered a sacrifice in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, in essence, what God did, God gave Himself. And in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He went there to the cross of Calvary and there shed His blood at Calvary for our sins, that we might be saved. But then, God the Father purposed and planned our salvation. Now, that's to His glory and to His honor. And you read this book of Ephesians, you'll see that God the Son purchased it. That's to His honor and to His glory. And then God the Holy Spirit procured it. See, God the Father planned and purposed it, and the Son purchased it, but it was the Holy Spirit that procured it. In essence, it's like this. There is no salvation without God the Father, the work of God the Father. There is no salvation without God the Son, and there is no salvation without God the Holy Spirit. No individual has ever been or ever shall be saved apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. Brother, the Word of God plainly declares this. So, one of the ways, and I believe the great way that God receives a glory in salvation, is that we say that salvation belongs to God. And it is from God. And how thankful that we ought to be. Now you say, well, what do you mean about the Holy Spirit procured it? Well, look, I'm in the same place, but look there in Ephesians 2 there, and look at verse 1. What does it say? It says, and you hath he quickened. Quickened means to make alive. And the he there is reference to the Holy Spirit. And you hath he quickened. Notice it says, who were dead in trespasses and sin. But you're not no longer dead in trespasses and sin, but you've been made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. You won't even want to think about God. You won't even want to know anything about God until there is a work of God that is done upon you. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that procures salvation or brings us. So God the Father purposed and planned it. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and purchased it. But we must come to Jesus Christ, or we must get to Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only does he say there in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, but now hold your place here, and let's go back and notice John chapter 6. Notice with me. Now, I'm talking about a salvation that brings glory to God. One that brings honor and glory to God. And really, it's the only kind that there is. And there's not any other kind. It's the only one that there is. But in John chapter 6 and verse 44, now, I'm going to give you time to get there, because I don't want you to take my word for it. I can quote it, but I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to read it. As I read it, I want you to read it too. Now, look what it says here in verse 44. See, here's the fix we were in. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins, but we weren't interested. In essence, I must say that we could have cured less. And why we cured less is because we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. So God had designed, and God did design, a way for dead men, women, boys, and girls to be made alive by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. And then he made a way for them to be brought to Christ. And here it is, John 6, 44. And here's what it says. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, brethren, that drawing, that bringing to Christ, or that drawing to Christ, is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't go to Christ without it. Let's just read it again. Verse 44. No man can come to me. That's Jesus saying that. But thank God he said, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And that's God the Holy Spirit. And so you can't get to Christ without God the Holy Spirit, and you can't get to God without the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has designed it or provided it so that we can even enter into the very presence of God. We can come or go to Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing any more marvelous or wonderful. And every one of you that's saved tonight know what I'm talking about, because you've experienced salvation. You've experienced the salvation of your soul. And you remember when you weren't saved, but you remember how that the word came, how the gospel came to you, not in word only, but it came in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And for the first time in your life, you really realized that you were lost and undone and needed a Savior. And you went fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit was drawing you and bringing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, if this needs to be said again, Jesus said in verse 65 there of that sixth chapter, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except, notice, and I underline this word here, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? That is the gospel truth. What it makes us acknowledge is this. Oh, how depraved we are. How creatures of clay. How we are as the worms. And yet God in his marvelous grace, through the means whereby that he has devised here, we're going along. We think we're doing real well, and we don't know God. We don't know Jesus Christ, and we've never had any experience with God the Holy Spirit. Then God brings about, puts us on the preaching of the gospel. He either takes us to the gospel or brings the gospel to us. And then the Holy Spirit does his work in there, causes us to see us that we are a wretched sinner and we need a Savior. And he also causes us to see that Savior is Jesus Christ, and he brings us to Jesus Christ. Amen. What we do then is, there's been such a dramatic change come that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. As he preached on the Lordship of Christ this morning, we receive him as our Lord. And so what we have here, God the Father provides this salvation, and this salvation is by the grace of God. So grace provided a Savior, and grace provided saving faith. And there you'll find that in Ephesians chapter 2, and there in verse 8 and verse 9. Look at those verses with me there. In Ephesians 2 now, verse 8 and verse 9. Now look how God's grace gets the glory. And notice how God gets the glory. Now notice as I read here Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now look at this real close. And that not of yourselves. Amen. See, the grace not of you, and the faith isn't either. Repentance and faith are the inseparable graces of God. That means they're given. So, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. Notice, it is the gift of God. Why? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Why is that? So it would be to God's glory. See, we talk about these two that's going to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism tonight. That's to God's glory. It's not to my praise, or it's not to any of your praise. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's to the glory of God. And so, there is the one thing, and I don't have time to really go into that more, but one thing that brings glory to the Lord is in salvation. But then the second thing that I want to talk a little bit about tonight, or preach a little bit about, that brings glory to God, is in the church, being added to one of the Lord's churches. Now, I believe that I'm not going to turn and read there, but I'll make reference to this, and perhaps you can study this for yourself. But over there in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and there in verse 37, down through verse 47, it talks about, and the Lord added. Now, who have I said does the saving? God does the saving. It is according to his design, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are of the same nature and essence, but each one having an office work that they perform according to God's design and God's purpose and God's plan. But then, not only you being saved brings honor and glory to the Lord, but another thing that brings honor and glory to the Lord is to be added to one of the Lord's churches. And I believe this is what he's talking about there in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, down through verse 47. And how that we find really what takes place there, it is the same working. It is the same Holy Spirit. It is the same way that salvation comes about. It is the same Holy Spirit that adds people to a church. I think sometimes that people get a little perturbed at me, you know. I love to see people saved by the grace of God, and I love to see people added to this church. But I don't like to try to get professions out of people, and I don't like to add people to this, try to add people to this church. Because any profession that I can get out of anybody is not salvation, and any person that I can add to this church is really not a member of this church. And so that's why that maybe perhaps at times we say, well, we ought to do something, this, that. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to preach God's word. We ought to pray. We ought to witness. We ought to cry out to God and let the Lord say and let the Lord add. And that's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach anything else. It teaches that exactly. A good example is the church at Corinth. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians 12. I'd like you to notice this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And notice as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church here at Corinth and what he says. Now, what he does, he starts off this letter by talking about, look there in the 12th chapter, then turn back over to the first chapter, and I want you to see who he's talking to. The first chapter, and look at verse 2. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now you see that? That's a local visible church. But now, notice, somebody said, well, so sometimes people read the book of Corinthians and said, that only applied to the Corinthian church and does not apply to us. That's not so. Everything that's written in the book of Corinthians not only applied to the Corinthian church, but it applies to us today that are in the large churches. For look what he says here in verse 2. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Then note, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. While the Lord knew that there was going to be one, more than one church he was going to have than that and at Corinth. He knew there were going to be other New Testament churches that would be scattered throughout all the land. And so even as our text says, unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Now I realize and I know that there are many reasons why some people become a member of a church. Sometimes they do it because they like the pastor. Sometimes they do it because they like the people. Sometimes they do it because they like the program. And they they have kindred folks there. They have children. They have a lot of social activities. They have singing. They say friendly, compassionate, and various other things. And all of these may influence a person, but they're not a reason for becoming a member of one of the Lord's churches. They may influence you. The primary reason for being a member of this church is because the Lord saved you by His grace and added you to this church. That's the primary reason. Now, if there's anything else that is a blessing to you, that's just an added blessing that the Lord gives to you. He did this through His ordained means there in Acts chapter 2 by the word of God being preached and by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the church here at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12 is a good example. Look with me now in 1 Corinthians 12. Here in verse 13. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, and that's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not Holy Spirit baptism. It's not universal church. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member but many. Now look down and you'll go on and see that he talks about the importance of the members of the church. Now these two that will be baptized tonight will be not maybe the two youngest members in age of our church, but they will be two of the youngest members as far as being added to the church. And we would consider them as being babes in Christ. But they share the same privileges that a charter member does. And they are just as important as a charter member. Now, thank God for charter members. You know, churches have to start somewhere and have to have some charter members. Thank God for those. But I'm talking about the equality that we have and how that he goes on and he says this here in this tough chapter. But now look, and so God knows, and here's the way God had designed salvation, and God also designed church membership, and God knows every member that this church needs. You know, I'm so thankful We have some that can play the musical instruments. We have more than some. We have several that can play the musical instruments. They've been given that gracious gift of God and that talent. We have some of our men that can teach. We have some of our women that can teach. We have some of our men that can pray. And we have all kinds of talents that God has given us that we might function as a New Testament Baptist church for His honor and for His glory. Now here it is in verse 18. But now hath God set. Who done the setting? God. Who does the saving? God. I tell you, when you have a person that God saved and God set in the church, you have somebody that's going to serve the Lord. They're going to be a witness for the Lord and going to serve the Lord and effectually be used for the cause of Christ in the church. But now you have someone that just made some kind of a decision. Not been saved, but just made some kind of decided to do something. And you have somebody that just added themselves to the church. They may seemingly bloom out and blossom, you know, but they'll soon fizzle. It may take a long time. But I'm talking about when God works according, and it's to His glory, and so God saves people for His glory, and God adds people to this church for His glory. Amen. And so what He says here. So he talks about all the different members. And you know, all of us here, we go along and are members of our church. We have about 100, I think, somewhere around 90-something or 100 members here. And we go along and all of us are different. God's given us different talents. But God knew every one of us, and God set us in here for a purpose. Every man, woman, boy, or girl has been set in this church for a purpose. And the purpose is to bring glory to God by Jesus Christ in this church. Now that's where you bring it all down there. Now look here in verse 18. But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, notice, as it has pleased Him. Did you ever not want to do something that you knew the Lord wanted you to do, and you had to do it? And then you got to like it. It pleased God. And it pleased God to set the members. And he goes on and talks about each one. And you can't, it's not a big I and a little you. It's not a New Testament church. It is not a big I and a little you. Every person is important here. The most educated person we have is important. The one that has the less education is important. The oldest person that we have is important. And the youngest person that we have is important. The richest person here is important, and the poorest person here is important. Amen. That God has set in this body. And I believe that this really is a great truth, and this is what brings honor and glory unto the Lord. So we need to come back as New Testament Baptists. We need to come back to some of these old truths that have been taught down through the years. Now, I'm not going to really get out on a limb here, but if God saves you and determines to set you in His church, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to go off somewhere else and do something else. No, you're going to be set in this church.
Right, brother. Amen.
Now you think about it. I try to tell the church all the time, you know, I hate to lose anybody. When we lose our young people, I could just about fall over and weep. Well, I do fall over and weep. When we lose our young people, or when we lose anybody, when we lose any person, I feel that way because I really want them to be under the preaching of God's Word, and I want to be in the truth of God's Word, and I want us to have the fellowship that God gives in one of the large churches, and what a blessing it is to be a member of a body of Christ. And when one suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoice. What a blessing it is. And I think so often, and every time that we lose a young person, or an elderly person, it really hurts me. But then I have to say, well, now, Lord, is that what you want? Is that really the way you want it? You know, the Lord adds, and the Lord can also take away. We know that definitely, and there's means in the Word of God. I don't have time to go into that. But now, I believe that you understand here that what we stand for and what we believe is that salvation is the glory of God because salvation is of God. And we believe that being a member of one of the Lord's churches is the glory of God because it's God that adds. And so then it is to His honor and to His glory and to His praise. Now, there's so many other things tonight. There's no end to this. There's 2 points and 50 sermons probably in the 2 points. But now, go back with me. Now I pray that the Holy Spirit will. We don't put any pressure on anybody in our church. We don't. When we sing invitations or anything, we don't try to get people to do anything. We just tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior and He's Lord. And what we do is if we have people that are not saved, we pray for them. And we pray that it may please the God of heaven that He'd work upon their hearts and that He'd open their hearts and grant to them repentance and faith. And when He does, and that time's come, they'll come to the Savior by the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. And then we don't try to, pressure anybody into joining this church. I thought about, I used an example when I was working with the Sharks. And the Lord saved Jeff. And Jeff, you know, went right on and was the Lord added to church and baptized and took Regina was a while to, you know, several months and I'd go over there and we just talked doctrine and I wouldn't say now you ought to come on join the church. You know, I'd say to her every time I'd say, you let the Lord lead you.
Amen, sir.
You do what the Lord wants you to. Now that's God's way.
Amen.
And that's to God's honor and to God's glory. Brethren, I believe that we're witnesses of the truth, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the pillar and the ground of truth. Now let me read this verse right quickly here. Go back to Ephesians 3:21, and notice with me, this will be the close. Now notice what it says. Unto Him, unto God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We believe that the Lord saves whom He will. We believe the Lord adds to this church who He would have to be a member of this church. If the Holy Spirit is leading or dealing with you tonight, then this church invites you to come.